Now on ESPN 105.1 The Zone, former University of Georgia head football coach and College Football Hall of Fame inductee Jim Donnan joins Press Row. This segment of Press Row is presented by Kia of Chattanooga. Test drive your dream vehicle today at 2136 Chapman Road. Kia of Chattanooga.
Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal along with Wells Guthrie as we welcome in the Duke of Chattanooga, Jim Donnan, the College Football Hall of Famer, in our weekly fun brought to you by Kia of Chattanooga, 2136 Chapman Road, 423-855-1022. Whether it's a Cadenza, an Optima, a Stinger, a Sedona, a Sorento, a Telluride, go see Taft Butcher at Kia of Chattanooga. Taft and his staff do a phenomenal job. They've got a great selection, and they will work with you. Coach, how are you today?
Doing good. Hadn't heard that Duke of Earl in a long time. That's a good job by Wells breaking that one out.
Just for you, Coach. Just for you.
All right. Hey, with Christmas coming up, how many grandkids you got?
Four.
Okay. And are they of different ages and different wants when it comes to Christmas time?
Yeah, I mean, they've outkicked their coverage on that as far as, you know, all of them are a lot older now. One's 29, 25, 20, 18. So
I didn't realize they'd gotten that old. Okay. How old's Todd now?
47.
Okay. I've only got him by a little bit then. Okay.
Right.
They
right.
had kids quicker than I did, that's for sure, because we're 15, 14, and 10, so we still got some youngins. All right, how much of Florida, Tennessee did you give a look?
I didn't watch it a lot. You know, I was watching some other games and kind of got my interest there in the second quarter when it looked like it was pretty competitive. But into the first half and first to the second half really kind of took the game over for Florida where – you got those scores. So, you know, it's just a case of, you know, they were playing pretty effectively as far as making some first downs. They just didn't score any points. So, been their nemesis all year for the Vols.
If you are a coach of a team that is on a losing streak like Tennessee and you have a big team like Florida come in, and like you said, I mean, those two touchdowns that bookended halftime – turned a 10-7 game into 24-7. It got to 31-7. Tennessee scored a couple of fourth quarter touchdowns to make it 31-19. So if you've got your team in the locker room, are you trying to build on that fourth quarter, or are you, you know, being a little more big picture of, you know, we just lost again?
You know, all you can do is talk about the what ifs, you know, go over. And you always talk to your team to try to change, if only, to next time. You know, hey, the next time we're in this situation, now we got to learn from it. And for some reason, Tennessee's had that same problem all year. I mean, you know, five or six plays a game tell the tale for them, and they just put themselves in harm's way. So, but I know they got to be encouraged by the way Harrison Bailey played and Stroud. And defensively, for the most part, I mean, they did a pretty good job against a lot better than Georgia did against the passing game. That's for sure. They were in the right position, but you're just not going to stop that guy unless they drop some passes or get some holding penalties. They're just too good.
Right, of course, last Saturday night you had Alabama go to LSU and just absolutely put a hurting on them. You know, when you think of a program like Georgia, which you helped build, and I mean, that is a program that when it backslides, it usually backslides around 8-4 or something. LSU is kind of in that same boat. I mean, usually a bad year for LSU is 8-4, but I mean, they're sitting there 3-5 now, and they're a 24-point underdog at Florida, and then they're going to play an Ole Miss team that's going to be hungry to beat them. How shocked at you are just by the just absolute free fall that LSU has undergone?
Well, I'm not shocked now, but during the course of the year, it's just been a cumulative effect, David. I've seen, starting with the first game they played against Mississippi State, then being on the goal line fourth and four times 1 yard to make against Missouri, not getting it over, you know, week after week, just really, you know, hard to believe that a team could have that many successes last year and be so dominant. I mean, last year they dominated everybody they played, and including the national championship game. But, you know, they did lose a lot of guys to the pros, and they lost some guys that decided not to play. And it just seems like the avalanche has started now. I mean, you know, it's just one of those things where one thing, a bad thing leads to another, you know, with a couple opt-outs here this week, particularly two really good receivers. So I don't know what they're going to have against Florida, but could be ugly down there because, you know, Florida's looking for style points. They're trying to put themselves in position to be one of the teams in the playoffs. But only problem, Florida's got to play Alabama, so it's going to be very hard for them to get in.
You know, Florida's also has a Heisman Trophy candidate in Kyle Trask. I mean, I know you watch a lot of Alabama with Mac Jones and Devontae Smith. How do you kind of see all that? I know when you were coaching, you were like, well, it's not your job to, you know, really weigh in on a Heisman Trophy type thing because it's an individual thing, and you're always thinking on the team aspect of it. But, I mean, when you're just casually watching games, who kind of jumps out the most at you?
Well, it is your job to try to help promote them when you have a chance to be in a national atmosphere. You know, you're on ESPN and they ask you about it, or after a game, people like you talking about it. So you should try to help there. But as you mentioned, it is a team award. You work for team. But I think in this case, you might have a situation where Kyle Trask probably benefited from Pitts being hurt, because he's probably not going to get as many votes to take away from Trask. And it looks like Devontae Smith's probably going to take away some from Jones. So a lot of it will be who plays the best in that championship game. But I think we'll have the best chance for a receiver to ever win it, because this guy with 15 touchdown passes has had a tremendous year. And, of course, Najee Harris, the running back, has done the same thing. So, but it's just a unique year. You know, by now we should be hearing about who was winning the Heisman. We still won't even be voting for another week. So, but I like all three of them having just super years and dominating SEC play in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, and, it's interesting because I think Devontae Smith – checks all the boxes of a Heisman winner. You know, you've had some years where there has been a career achievement element to it, and, you know, this guy's had a great career ever since he beat Georgia in that national championship game as a freshman. You think about stats that you need, and he, like you mentioned with the touchdowns, I think he's got over 1,300 receiving yards in just 9 games. You think, Heisman winners need that highlight moment, and his one-handed grab the other night over, you know, with Stingley covering him. That's what impresses me so much about him, is just who he's going up against in the SEC each week. I'm just wondering if it is either Jones or Trask, and they're all deserving, don't get me wrong, but it makes me wonder if this will just kind of be a quarterback award for the rest of history. Because I think since Cam Newton won it in 2010, the only non-quarterback to win it was Derrick Henry in 15.
Yeah, I mean, usually running backs will challenge for it, but it's such a glamour position now, and, you know, the preliminary voting early in the year, people are talking about quarterbacks. You know, Lawrence be the number one draft choice for sure, but he got hurt, missed 2 games with COVID, and then Fields has only played 5 games. So, really, you got 4 quarterbacks there. They're just among the elite players, but it'll be interesting to see what kind of draft notice we get from Trask and Mac Jones. But for sure, 1 and 2 with Fields and Lawrence, or Lawrence first. But just a good year for quarterbacks around the country.
Jimbo Fisher, the Texas A&M coach, yesterday said, inevitably the college football playoff has to grow to make sure you're getting everyone in that you need to get in. I take issue with that quote, because I don't think a Texas A&M team that lost 4 touchdowns to Alabama, I don't think there's any requirement that you have to put them in. I've said it before, Jim. I think college football was just as good with the BCS as it's been with the playoff. I understand that you have the years with 3 teams like last year. I mean, I thought LSU, Clemson, and Ohio State were all deserving, and the playoff gave all 3 a home, whereas you go back about 15 or 16 years, there was that year with Southern Cal, Oklahoma, and Auburn that went undefeated, and Auburn got left out. So I get 4 being better than 2, but I'm just one of those that doesn't want to see it grow beyond 4. Do you have any strong thoughts on that?
Yeah, I just think in this scenario where you have such a weird situation with teams not playing as many, you know, some of these teams have played twice as many as Ohio State. It's not Ohio State's fault, but, you know, in the conference only this year, it's hard to really factor in how many are the right amount. But usually speaking, I would say four is the amount that it's usually going to take care of itself. But in this scenario, you can certainly look at some teams that in the SEC that are ranked lower, like Texas A&M, Florida, Georgia, that I think could really get after any of those teams after the first three. I just think that's the way it is. The SEC just that much better.
And so I think this year, another thing about the playoff and just this year in general is you do have some teams like Coastal Carolina that, you know, that beat Louisiana, which beat Iowa State by 17 on their home field. They beat BYU last week. I know they're kind of a Cinderella story, but I think by the committee moving Iowa State up to seventh earlier this week, I think that pretty much slams the door on a group of five team ever. You know, Cincinnati dropped a spot without even playing. It just seems like if you're not a big boy, you have no chance in this thing.
Yeah, what did you say? You're 40. How old are you?
53.
Not going to happen in your lifetime.
Right.
I mean, there's not going to be these non-power five teams in there. They just don't play the type of schedule. And nothing against Coastal. I mean, they've done a heck of a job, but you just don't. You know, particularly as I mentioned, the SEC playing conference only. It's just different. Different type of games that you're playing week in and week out. And, you know, I'd like to see anybody in these other leagues come into the SEC and win seven or eight games this year, like instead of, you know, counting those games they're winning in these cupcakes, you know, that they're playing. Some of these leagues. I mean, you know, just don't see that kind of football from some of these other leagues. Although I am encouraged by the ACC. Seems to be making some improvement. Miami, North Carolina, even Virginia. These teams are starting to get better to go along with, you know, Clemson and Notre Dame. But you watch the Pac-12. You watch the, you know, Big Eight. I mean, I'm a big Oklahoma fan, but you know, Oklahoma lost to Kansas State, who got beat 66-20 last week. So I'm having a hard time seeing Oklahoma. You know, they'll probably beat Iowa State, but you know, they usually do in a championship game, but Oklahoma's not a nationally qualified team to play in the playoff this year.
You're listening to Jim Donnan, the College Football Hall of Famer, and our weekly fun brought to you by Kia of Chattanooga. Before we wrap up this first segment, Shane Beamer named the new coach at South Carolina. And Jim, I find this interesting because now you've got three in the SEC with Pittman and with Orgeron and with Beamer that have never been an offensive or defensive coordinator. I know Beamer was special teams coordinator at Georgia, but that's kind of a unique trend that we're starting to see.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's titles are one thing, but you also look at timing. And, you know, he got a situation there where there's not a lot of demand for that job right now. And he had some good people behind him as far as ex-players. And, you know, he kind of took advantage of the situation. You know, school's still out. I mean, he's got to get some coaches. He's got to get number one, their player, their, you know, their personnel right now is low. And, you know, their recruiting class is 14th in the conference and, you know, 92nd in the country. So they got to find some way to bring an influx. And they got these good players opting out and going pro. So it's a massive, massive overhaul there because of who you got to beat in your state. With Clemson and also in your own conference, at best, you know, they're fourth or fifth in the SEC East. So good luck to Shane. I mean, you know, he's a good guy. He's worked hard, and we'll see how it works out. But he doesn't have the resume going in that Muschamp has as far as success and as far as being a guy that's been on, you know, making a lot of moves as far as the leadership. But he has been around some good staffs, and we'll have to see how it works out.
And, of course, Mike Bobo coaching at an interim until last weekend. What do you think happens with Mike?
Well, I hope for Mike's sake they keep him because, you know, he's got a son that's going to be a rising senior, a recruited kid that's plays offensive line over there at Hammond School. It'd be a smart move by Shane to keep a guy that's had some head coaching experience, but he's got his own staff to fill out, so we'll see how that works out. But they could certainly use Mike Bobo. He's an excellent coach.
He actually, I mean, and we all know what happened to South Carolina. They went from 2-2 to 2-8, but he did do a nice job this year with that offense. I mean, that was an offense that I guess because we talked about at the end of last year, I think South Carolina scored one touchdown in its last three games. And if you look at this season, offense wasn't the issue. I mean, it wasn't the offense getting torched for 60 points at Ole Miss or whatever it was.
Yeah, when you look at their success rate, big win over Auburn, and then got a lot of points against Florida and LSU, and we're in position, you know, in several other games. Ole Miss, but their defense was their Achilles heel. They couldn't get off the field. They couldn't stop anybody, and their pass defense was just really, really, really bad. So you couple all that together, and you look at a 2-8 season that nobody thought was going to happen going into the year, but at the same time, it's just it is what it is, and but as I said, it's going to be a big reconstruction job down there in Columbia, South Carolina, and you know, Clowney and Alshon Jeffrey and all those guys ain't going to come back and be on the team. So you're going to have to get some more of those kind of players if you're going to win.
All righty, when we come back, we will look at this week's games. With the College Football Hall of Famer Jim Donnan, it's been brought to you by Kia of Chattanooga.
This segment of Press Row has been brought to you by Kia of Chattanooga, award-winning vehicles and courteous, honest service. Kia of Chattanooga.
From the Mermaid Mattress Traffic Center, better mattress, better price, better sleep, better life, we have a report of a pedestrian struck at Charger Drive at Broad Street. I-75 North remains slow from Cloud Springs Road to the split. Look for stop-and-go traffic, I-24 eastbound from the Ridge Cut to the split, and a secondary road wreck, East 23rd at South Hickory, and I-59 northbound near the Trenton exit in Dade County, completely shut down due to an overturned tractor trailer. This report brought to you by Green Trips. Find tips for working from home at greentrips.org. And share your work from home tips with our community on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at GreenTripCHA. From the Mermaid Mattress Traffic Center, I'm Dan Item, Chattanooga Traffic Network.
Ho, ho, ho!
This is John Davis, the trade-in man for Kia Cleveland on South Lee Highway. It doesn't matter if you've been bad or good, naughty or nice, you're still going to get $7,000 minimum for any trade in any condition. That's right, $7,000 minimum for any old trade toward the purchase of a new 2021 Kia Sportage SUV or a K5 sedan. High mileage, cosmetic issues, unreliable, upside down. At Kia Cleveland, all trade-ins are welcome. Is your credit on the naughty list? That's okay. If you've got $500 down and you make at least $2,000 a month, I'll do my best to get you approved. So come see me, John Davis, the trade-in man, and get $7,000 minimum for any trade in any condition.
Merry Christmas!
From Kia of Cleveland on South Lee Highway in beautiful Cleveland, Tennessee, where car buying is as easy as 1, 2, 3.
Looking for the dealer who's gonna give you more. Kia of Cleveland Superstore.
Balance on trade, refinance, and new loans. Subject to lender approval, expires month end.
KiaofCleveland.com.
DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is wishing you the happiest of holidays. And to kick off the season of giving, DraftKings has new promotions and odds boost every day this week. DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new players the chance to earn a sign-up bonus up to $1,000 when signing up using promo code WALV. DraftKings Sportsbook has endless ways for you to bet. From live betting to betting on your favorite players, they do it all. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code WALV when you sign up and get up to $1,000. That's code WALV to get a deposit bonus up to $1,000. For a limited time, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
I want to connect you with my good friend, Drew Courtney at Keller Williams Realty. Drew is unique because he offers complimentary staging to all of his clients through his partnership with Feather Lane Design Company. Over the last 2 years, Drew's listings have sold within an average of 5 days. Drew knows this market inside and out, and I've known him for years. You won't find a finer guy to work with. You can connect with Drew Courtney in the office at 423-664-1900 or reach out to him directly at 423-322-5501.
Raphael Warnock says his preaching isn't about politics. He's lying. Just listen.
Police power, the kind of gangster and thug mentality. Somebody's got to open up the jails. Nobody can serve God and the military.
Warnock's real agenda? To fundamentally change America. To defund the police, tear down prisons, destroy the middle class, and redistribute wealth. Radical Raphael Warnock. You know what he wants to do.
Somebody's got to open up the jails.
Because he's already told you.
The choice for Georgia? Kelly Loeffler. Kelly will stand up to the radical left. She'll fight for working families, back the blue, and protect American values. To save America, we must save the Senate. Vote Kelly Loeffler for Senate. Early voting begins December 14th.
I'm Kelly Loeffler, candidate for U.S. Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Georgians for Kelly Loeffler.
Former UGA head football coach and College Football Hall of Famer Jim Donnan is back on Press Row. Presented by Kia of Cleveland. Browse Kia's award-winning lineup of vehicles at kiaofcleveland.com.
Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal along with Wells Guthrie as we welcome back in the College Football Hall of Famer Jim Donnan, the former North Carolina State quarterback, Oklahoma offensive coordinator, Marshall head coach that won a national championship, and then, of course, the coach of the Georgia Bulldogs, taking the Dogs to four straight bowl W's. This segment brought to you by Kia of Cleveland, 2492 South Lee Highway, 423-693-0505. Go see John Davis and his staff, whether it's a Cadenza, an Optima, a Stinger, a Sedona, a Telluride, or a Sorento. John Davis and his folks will help you out with a fantastic selection. All right, coaches, we welcome you back in. There are five games this week. Kentucky and South Carolina are through with their regular season. Texas A&M Ole Miss was shelved due to COVID. Georgia-Missouri, how intriguing do you think that will be in Columbia?
You know, one of the things about that game is the way it's fallen on the schedule. I mean, we were playing them a lot earlier, and then they had the COVID outbreak out of Missouri. And this team has really gotten on fire here lately. They're 5-1 their last six games. They've beaten some teams that aren't, you know, a lot to write home about. But they did have a new coach. They do have a new coach, a new program, and they got a lot of intensity. So you're playing an 11 o'clock game out there, 12 o'clock here. Got to get up early and get going. Not a lot to play for except pride, you know, from our standpoint. But I'm sure Missouri looked at it as a chance to knock off a top 10 team. Their quarterback, Cameron Bazelik, is playing on a high level. Hadn't thrown a lot of touchdown passes, but gets a lot of completions. And then, of course, Larry Roundtree is among the better backs in the league. But defensively, they just had a hard time stopping people. It's just been a case of most teams stop themselves or they're not on the field like against Kentucky. Kentucky couldn't get the ball, so they never got to play much defense. But question of going out there and taking care of business, this is a game Georgia should win. And but at the same time, you know, a little angst over here going against the Tigers starting at 11 o'clock Central.
Are you nervous?
You know, I'm always a little nervous. I mean, I expect us to win, but at the same time, you know, it's just a tough time of year for all these kids. I mean, if you look at the psychological profile of what they've had to endure. You know, I read today where Boston College had a tremendous year under their new coach, Jeff Hadley, who came from Ohio State. They won six games. They're 6-5. They, you know, they ought to be fired up, going to a bowl, all that. But, you know, their kids say, look, we don't really want to practice anymore. We've been practicing since July the 13th. We'd have to go home and then come back and practice another 10 days. And then for what? To go fly someplace for one night? And it's kind of cold-blooded, but that's just the way it is. And I think we're going to see a lot of that. We're going to see a lot of these teams either not play or a lot of players not play because of that, because, you know, the school gets a lot of money, but from the player standpoint, you know, you don't get the benefit of going to a bowl and enjoying all the festivities that you normally have.
Yeah, it's all in the release that Boston College sent out. Their AD was like, it's a road game. It's not a bowl game. You're exactly right. They don't get to enjoy any of these festivities. Along those lines of what you're talking about with Georgia, I think that is a huge deal with Auburn this week. I mean, Auburn put so much into the Iron Bowl and lost, and then you had a number five Texas A&M come in there, and Auburn led in the third quarter before really getting outplayed down the stretch. And then they go to a Mississippi State team that didn't play last week, and so they're rested up a little bit, and we know how dangerous they can be because they came within a whisker of knocking off Georgia. So I think it's a dangerous Saturday for Auburn.
Yeah, you know, this Auburn team, very fragile right now, including some of the remarks made by the head coach, letting people know that, you know, he was happy with four losses, which he didn't mean to say it like that, but, you know, realistically, when you get $7.5 million a year to lose four games a year, that's a pretty good gig. I mean, they're going to have to turn it around. They're going to have to do something different. But
you know, that's the seventh straight year that Auburn's lost at least four games. That's the longest streak of four-loss seasons since Shug Jordan's, like, first or second year when he got things going in the 50s.
Yeah, that's what I was saying there, $7.5 million a year for 7 years there. I mean, he didn't want to make it quite that much the first couple, but I think it's just a case of if they don't get off to a good start, they could get embarrassed by Mississippi State because they're going to be playing for, you know, they're a lot like Arkansas, Missouri, new coach trying to build their program as compared to a team that had high expectations. And realistically, you know, Auburn's very fortunate to be 5-4. I mean, they could have easily lost Kentucky, Arkansas game, Ole Miss game. I mean, this could have just been a disastrous year. So I think that could be a game that's up in the air for sure this week. And then, of course, you know, the Arkansas game against Alabama is just a case of can Alabama keep on functioning like that level of, you know, they haven't had a bad game yet offensively. Maybe they can, you know, stop themselves some, but they get very few penalties. They don't turn the ball over. They got an unbelievable efficiency rate on throwing and catching the ball. Red zone offense is unreal. Their offensive line looks like a human highlight team for pro draft. I mean, every one of those guys looks like a guy you'd take in the first round. And defensively, they're starting to play a lot better. I mean, they're not giving up near as many big plays, and they're always ahead, so they can play a lot more nickel and dime coverage. So I'm sure Franks will scare them some and do some things, but this is a total mismatch more than likely.
Do you know they've pulled the number six straight weeks?
Yeah, I mean, they're 6-2 right against the spread. I think they had one against Missouri was like a backdoor. They put
right.
that young kid in.
And then Ole Miss would
quarter.
Be the other one.
Yeah, and Ole Miss really was weak the way they let them do it. But they're a covering machine, that's for sure. They, what are they, 31 this week?
Yeah, I think I saw it at 32, but I'll have to check. But we only have a few seconds.
I would say to our fans, games like that, you need to bet the first half because they're going to probably be pulling guys out
right.
in this game because
the
they're
SEC.
Getting ready for Auburn. I mean, for Florida. But
right.
My big pick this week is Virginia Cavaliers. Got to make it two in a row against Virginia State, Virginia Tech Hokies.
I like that.
Getting points on the road. Virginia Tech looked bad last week. We gave you Clemson last week. It looked like we weren't going to cover it, but they did. So I think that's a good one to end up the show on. One of the things I was listening to John Davis talk about the trade-ins over there at Kia of Cleveland. I mean, you get $7,000 for some of these cars. I mean, that's mission impossible. So they're doing a good job of giving you good trade-in there. But old John, I mean, he knows how to make it happen. So go over there and see him and Taft Butcher at Kia of Chattanooga, and they'll give you a good Christmas deal.
Jim, great job as always. Have a wonderful weekend. Look forward to talking to you next week where we preview the SEC championship game. Thank you, Coach.
All right, thank you.
All righty, Jim Donnan, the College Football Hall of Famer, and our weekly fun brought to you by Kia of Cleveland. 648-1051 is the number. Back with more. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
This segment of Press Row has been made possible by Kia of Cleveland. where they can help with any automotive needs you may have. 2492 South Lee Highway, Kia of Cleveland.